morning. Thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel Fisherman Ministry out here in West Texas.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day.
Dear Lord, we just come before you today, and we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for this chapel. We thank you for your words, Lord, that humble us, that inspire us, that allow us to work towards coming home to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great day today. Those who couldn't make it home yesterday made it home today. We got a little bit of rain that we needed, which is a blessing. And the Lord gives us blessings every day. I don't know about your Bible and mine. There's 1,356 pages. Those 1,356 pages hold the key for not only our life here on earth, but how we can get to be with the Lord. And today is what some call Easter Sunday. We call it Resurrection Sunday. The reason we call it that is because Jesus died for us on the cross. And he beat death and was rose again. All for our sin. So that we can be one with him. And he's given us the manual. Go to Romans 8. Starting at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is war. We're constantly fighting against our flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit. Jesus' resurrection. These are the promises. His word is the promise. His word is what we walk after.
The dearest and best. This is kind of funny. I just look up. You guys planned this earlier? This is where the sinners are going to sit on this side? I'm not sure. For those of you guys listening, we got the room, like everybody's on one side of the room. It's kind of fun. But anyhow. Well, we had an adventure yesterday. All right? Unbeknownst to me, the night before, we planned a trip to, where do we go? New Mexico. The night before we're about to leave, my wife decides that it's a good time to pray for some rain. Well, praise God, we got the rain, right? But unfortunately, we couldn't make it home last night, you know? And as you're driving in, you know, to the desert, you see rain and you see water in the roads, and there was hail along the side of the road. It almost looked like there was snow on the side of the road, and that ain't something I've seen since, well, I was in Vermont, you know. But you can take these challenges one way or another. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could take it. You can get angry, you can get scared, you can get worried, you know, all this stuff. But really, I just kept myself in a place of, well, hey, you know, if we ain't going to make it home, well, praise God. Lord, what will thou have me do? Right? So we just kept driving. We got to a point where the Lord showed me in a way I could understand that that it was about time to stop, right? So we stopped, and you know, I was looking around and praying and had this idea, well, geez, maybe I can, you know, go out, you know, towards the desert and kind of circle around and make my way through. And I said, well, it might be squishy out there, but hey, you know, I ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well go check it out. So we back up and turn around, and we start driving down one of these side roads, and we see a vehicle stuck. And I said, well, I ain't going to go that way, but let's drive down and see if they need a hand. You know, so I drove on down to him and got there, and he's got both sides, you know, his driver's side wheels are in up to the, you know, right up to the fenders, you know. And there was nobody there. I must have walked off for help. So we start driving back, and all of a sudden I see this kid running, waving his arms. He's running as fast as he can. So we stop and back up. And he said, hey, yeah, my uncle's coming with a chain. Do you think he can help me? I said, oh, yeah, I can help you. You know, and he got up there, and he had the chain. And as we're kind of introducing each other to our, you know, to ourselves, he's, what one of the, his wife, I think it was, says, are you guys from Vermont? I said, well, yeah, originally we live down here now. She said, this is just so strange. She's taking a picture of my license plate to prove, you know, to the folks back home, because she's from Maine. All right, so we got this person from Vermont pulling somebody from Maine out of a mud bog in the middle of the Chihuahuan Desert, you know. So that was, these sorts of things don't happen often, you know. And, yeah, I'm looking at the situation, and I said, well, here, you know, you hook the chain to my vehicle right here. And he looked at me and he said, well, what do you think the best way for me to hook to mine would be? And I said, well, you're going to want to hook over here on this side, right? And I think that'll work. He said, okay, let's do it the way you said. Boom, hooked onto it, got in, and pulled him out easy peasy. Praise God. It was easy, right? Unhooked, and I got to talking with him a little bit. I gave him a ministry card. I guess his father has a little setup out over there and invited him over for service. They might still be underwater, you know, so they're not here. But, hey, you know, who knows? So I drive up, get to where I have cell signal, and call the ranch, and works out Bob's going to come out and see if, you know, we can actually get through. So we go, and we're waiting at our water pit, and after about an hour, I started thinking, well, I don't think Bob could make it. I think that there was something, you know, in between us, and he had to turn around. And for some reason, I said, well, I need to wait. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. I thought I was waiting to give Bob a little bit more time to get there. But as it turned out, somebody else pulls up. He rolls down his window and he says, oh, you too scared to go through there? I said, well, you know, frankly, I think we'll get stuck if we go. And he said, well, do you think I can make it? I said, I wouldn't recommend it. I said, it's not a good idea to try going through there. It was getting dark. It was harder to see, but I had seen it in light. And he says, well, I'm going to try it anyway. I said, again, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think you should do that. But if you're going to do it, all right, the way that I think you should do is stay way over on the right-hand side here, keep them wheels up on the edge, and then just kind of shoot right through that gate and then, you know, go around to the right again. Right? He said, okay. And he started going to the right, and then he stopped, and then he backed up, and then he started down the middle, and he stopped, and he backed up. And he says, what about going over to the left? I said, I would absolutely not go to the left. That is the place. Do not go to the left. Oh, okay. Tries the center again. Backs up. He goes left. Made it about 15 feet, and he just sunk. And, you know, I went over and I was chatting with him a little bit, and I gave him a ministry card, too, and said if he needed a hand, you know, give us a call and come on out. And then that's when we turned and went out, got signal and called, found out Bob couldn't make it, and decided we'd just get a hotel for the night. And the cool thing was I'm in the hotel lobby checking in, and I got to actually minister to a guy there. Praise God, gave him a ministry card and told him to check us out and come on out. And we had a good night. Well, it was a late night, but, you know. Made it in here, and we're all here. All right? Now, the difference between the first guy and the second guy was he asked my advice, I gave it to him, he followed it. Amen? Second guy, he asked my advice, I gave it to him, and he could not follow what I told him to do. And it got him right where he is, right? Now, when we hear the voice of the Lord, are we going to do what he says to do? Are we going to go our own way? Get ourselves stuck? It's a choice that we have, right? It was interesting. Last night, as I was sitting in the hotel room, kind of winding down and, you know, looking for some sleep, I had my phone, so I was on the internet. I was looking at the news or something, and there was, you know, this study. Hey, I love these studies. You know, they got it all figured out, right? So I click on it, and I'm reading a little bit of it. I mean, this thing, it was an article about a study. You know, the study must have been 6,000 pages. The article was probably 100. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, so I'm just kind of skimming it for the, you know, for the bits and pieces. But what it came down to was that intelligent people, like really smart folks, the folks that are esteemed in the world, well, they don't believe in God. Only the stupid people believe in God. And then this study was conducted by all these fancy universities with lots of letters and all that stuff, you know. And, I mean, what I realized that, and this was like an Easter special sort of article, you know. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But the truth of it is right there. I mean, it's right here in the Word, right? The Lord uses the meek to confound the wise, right? Uses the base things of the world. And they don't understand it. So they did this big study, and that's what they found out. But it was right here in the Word. What it came down to, for me anyway, was, why do you hate God? Why do you hate God? I mean, you got a lot of people in their pride. They're just so bound up they can't see it, right? But us, we claim to love God. We claim to love Him. What's Davey say all the time? You love me? Do what I say. Right? So, if we're not doing what he says, that means we're not loving him. Must mean we're hating him. Is that what he deserves? Probably what we deserve. But yet, he died for us to give us that chance to love him. Now, what are you going to do with that opportunity? Right? I'm just going to pull out a couple of quick verses. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Do what I say. Right? Go over to John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. Go down to 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's what I want. Is that what you want? I mean, you're here. You're listening online. You're listening to this later. If that's what you want, do what he says. John 15:10, over in John. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It seems pretty simple. If you love God, you do what he says. You keep his commandments. If you hate God, you don't. It's black and white. Right? Now, what are the two commandments, really? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thy spirit, and all thy strength. Am I close enough for government work? And your mind. Right? Can you pass that first test? Are you there? Well, get there. Pray. He'll help you. Right? The second part is love thy brother, or love thy neighbor as yourself. Pass the first one, you can pass the second one, you can get there. Amen? Amen.
Preacher to the choir, but I was listening to Vermont earlier this morning, and I was listening to Charlie, and he was preaching out of Matthew 25. That's where I'm going to go today. I had preached, been taught many years ago, that the oil in the lamps was the Holy Spirit. Sounded good. I heard it. Sounded good. Went along with it. And it reminded me, how often do we hear things that are preached, that are spoken, and never take the time to search it out? We just accept it as if it's true. First of all, I want to explain a little bit about this wedding feast. It's an old Indian custom that the bride would have 10 virgins to attend to her on her wedding night. And I've heard preachers try to preach that it was referring to the bride. No, he wasn't marrying 10 virgins. He married one woman and had 10, she had 10 virgins to accompany her on her wedding night. Bridesmaids, thank you. All right. So we have it where these 10 are hanging out. 5 of them brought extra oil. 5 of them didn't. And a bachelor party went for longer than it should have. And they started running out of oil. And then here comes the bridegroom. The trumpets blow. The bridegroom's coming. Oh, no, we're out of oil. Give us some of yours. No. You go buy your own. So they went and bought their own. In the meantime, the bridegroom came. The bride took the 5 handmaidens. They went into the chamber. Later, when the other 5 came, who answered the door? Huh? Somebody, who answered the door? The bridegroom. And of course, because the bridegroom answered the door, he had no clue who those 5 girls were. Only the bride knew. Now, the story in that is be prepared. But it dawned on me and it hit me. It's not the oil that he was talking about being the Holy Spirit. Didn't that Jesus say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He shall abide with you forever. We shall abide with you. We will never leave you. I shall never leave you. So why would you have to take extra Holy Ghost with you? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I could get some extra Holy Ghost, I wouldn't mind it. Kind of like Alicia. I don't want what you got. I want twice as much. Amen. I want twice as much. Give me 4. Maybe 4 times. No, it was faith. It was faith. They ran out of faith. And it was too late to go in because they had not the faith. Now the Lord says in his word in Thessalonians chapter, 2 Thessalonians, that a day is going to come when we are to meet the Lord in the air. It doesn't say that he's going to snatch us by the neck and draw us up. It says, we beseech thee, brethren, by the coming together, by our coming together unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our coming together unto him. Are you going to have the faith to rise up when the Lord comes? I don't know about you. I've done a lot of thinking about that over the years. And I've wondered if I would have the faith to turn loose and go. That's something I wonder about all the time. And if I wonder about it, I wonder sometimes if others wonder about it. Faith is not something that you get and it stays forever. You get a big pile of faith when you're born, praise God. But you give it all away. You give it here to your mother, you give it to your daddy, you give it to your preacher, you give it to your sisters, you give it to your brothers, you give it to your friends, you give it to teachers. And by the time it comes around to God, what faith do you have left? You burn it all up. Kim's with us today. Kim's with us today because God allowed me to have the faith to rebuke that debt that was on her. She was laying in a hospital. Everything shutting down. The doctor said she would not live the night. But I believe my God. I believe the word. If I ask anything in his name, he'll do it. And I joined to rebuke the spirit of death. Prayed for her to be healed. Just as the doctor comes in, she wakes up, looks around, says, I'm hungry, grabs her IV bottle, heads off to the bathroom. Doctor freaked out. Now, does that make me special? No. It makes me a believer who chose to believe God's word. And it's the same that for every believer. But God's word is not a smorgasbord. It's not a smorgasbord where you can pick and choose what you want to believe. Like so many Christians do. Like, what about the part about faith to hang in fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, even when it don't feel like it? Because without fellowship, you're cut off. And when you're cut off, you're not his. There are many believers out there that think that they can sit in there by themselves and have fellowship with God. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You're either part of the vine or you're not part of the vine. You're either in the vine or you're not in the vine. And sitting off by yourself somewhere. Not that I'm trying to look at you because you're sitting on the one side of the room. Everybody else is over there. But sitting off by yourself isn't gonna get it done. You've got to be with the body. And why is that? Because how else can you work with each other and against each other? To polish what God has for you. The church is where you get into that divine tumbler of God. And he takes the jewels and polishes them. Man, I ought to be mighty bright right now. I must be so bright and clear and shiny from all the polishing I've had. It's been 42 years, almost, in August, it will be 42 years. I can't believe it. And yet, in that 42 years, I can count on one hand. One hand, people that I know have believed God and will walk, follow his word, who will recognize pride and get rid of it. Pride is a killer. It's a killer. And if you let pride rule your life, you will not have the oil when it's time. you won't have it. I would say swallow your pride, because that's what most people say. I wouldn't say that. I think what I'd say is spit that crap out. Spit it out. Get rid of the pride. Humble yourself. You might not like somebody. So what? I know a lot of people don't like me. So what? Don't have to like me. Nowhere in the Bible does God say you have to like me. He does say you got to love me. Has nothing to do with feelings. Has to do with that agape. Take old John the leprechaun. When I first saw him, he wasn't something you wanted to feel good about. God said, see that man? Love him. And I did. And I still do. Bob's another one. In fact, you're all in that pile. Doesn't matter whether you make me happy one day or not, whether you please me one day or not, I am to love you. And you can't love if you're full of pride. You can only love yourself. Amen? You want the faith to carry on and get rid of the pride, and you'll have that oil when you need it. Amen.
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning. Sing Hosanna to the King.
Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for dying on the cross for us so that we have a chance. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we ask you for the strength for us to know your Lord, to know your word, and to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.